You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
The 17th century French mathematician and philosopher Blaise Pascal famously said, "All men seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end." You know, Pascal is right. We all seek happiness. We all want to be happy in this life and certainly forever. God created us this way. Just this past week, I read an article by a London reporter who went all the way over to Finland because apparently the Finnish people are supposed to be the happiest people in the world. And so she went there to try to learn from them some things that she could apply in her own life so that she might live a happier life. Because we all seek happiness. The problem is that so often we seek happiness in all the wrong places and in all the wrong ways. Maybe you've been seeking happiness from joining with the wrong group because you want them to like you. Or maybe you've sought happiness through drugs or through alcohol or pornography. Or maybe you've sought it in a harmful relationship. Or you've thought that maybe if you could just find the right job, or that having enough money and more material possessions would make you truly happy. Maybe like Mike talked about last week as he looked at Psalm 51, maybe you look for happiness in the potato chip bag or by finishing the tub of ice cream. We look for happiness and we try to give off this aura as if we are happy. We do our best to keep up appearances, but so often we wouldn't admit it, except maybe to AI, but we're lonely. Our lives seem weightless, even meaningless. Well, is there a better way? What if there is? What if there is a true way to be truly happy? A way to live in the pleasure of God? Well, Psalm 1 shows us this way to truly flourish. Look with me at Psalm 1. It is only 6 verses. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Psalm 1 begins with the Hebrew word ashrei, which is translated here in the English Standard Version as blessed. Now, there are at least a couple words in Hebrew for blessed, being blessed. There is Baruch, which talks about being blessed being praised. But Ashrei here has more of the connotation, and perhaps yours translates it as happy or joyful. Well, we want to be happy, right? That's what this psalm is talking about. So who is this blessed man of Psalm 1? Well, if you read or listened to this psalm and you thought to yourself, well, I am that blessed, that happy man or woman. If you thought that as we read through this psalm, let me be clear, you did not pay attention to what this psalm actually says. You see, in and of yourself, you and I are not the blessed man. And you cannot somehow make yourself this blessed person. Because let's be honest with ourselves. We have all walked in the counsel of the wicked. We have all stood with the sinners. We have all sat with the mockers. We have given in to peer pressure. We've taken bad advice. We have done things that we know are wrong. We've hurt others. We've hung out with the wrong crowds and joined with them in wrongdoings, and we have even taught others to do wrong things. But more than just verse 1, look at verse 2 again. Can you honestly say that you delight in God's word, even when God's word tells you something you don't want to hear? Something that convicts you that you don't want to change? Would you really say that delight is the word that comes to mind? Or can you really say that you meditate day and night on God's word? I can't say I do. Of course none of us can. We all have sinned. We've all gone astray. None of us qualifies to be this blessed man. But you see, that's where we have to read Psalm 1 properly. Psalm 1 isn't first and foremost about you and me. We've got to read Psalm 1 in its context, and within all of Scripture, the context. You see, Psalms 1 and 2 go together. Let me show you that. Psalm 1 begins with the Hebrew word Ashrei. Blessed is the man. Well, Psalm 2 ends with Ashrei. Blessed are all who take refuge in him, Psalm 2 verse 12 says. In other words, they're meant to go together. And so these two psalms introduce to us the entire Psalter. These two psalms are what set the stage. They're the introduction and what sheds light on the other 148 psalms in the book. In other words, Psalms 1 and 2 act as the doorway, the gateway through which we must go if we want to properly understand and appreciate the psalms and live in light of them. So Psalm 1 teaches us that there are two ways to live. There is this blessed way, and then there is this way that ends, as the psalm ends, with perishing. In fact, the first word, Ashrei, begins with the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. Sort of like our English letter A. The last word, Tobed, which is translated here perish, begins with the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Tov, like our English letter Z. The point is that there are only two ways to live. There's not three, there's only two. You can either walk in the blessed way or you can walk in the way that perishes. Well, that brings us back to that question. Who is this blessed man? Well, he is the king described to us in Psalm 2. See, this goes all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, where we're told that the king of Israel was not to live like the other kings in the nations around them. Instead, he was to write out his own scroll, his own copy of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The king was to do this so that he would study, so that he would meditate on, so that he would know God's word, so that he might live and rule by God's word. And so this blessed man of Psalm 1 is the king described to us in Psalm 2. He is the one of whom God says in Psalm 2 verse 7, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." In other words, the blessed man is the Messiah. He is none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus alone never walked in the counsel of the wicked. Jesus Christ never stood in the way with the sinners and joined with them. Jesus alone never sat in the seat of the scoffers. Jesus is the rooted tree who is planted beside the streams of water, who is continually bearing fruit and never withers and prospers in all that he does. So then how can you and I experience this true joy, this blessedness, this everlasting happiness that Psalm 1 talks about? Well, the only way is in Christ. You see, as the Old Testament kings represented God's people to God, so it is that Jesus Christ represents us to God. And so only by being united with Jesus can you and I be blessed, truly happy as God would intend for us. It is only through believing in him so that our sins are forgiven and so that we are counted as God's righteous people, so that we might, as the psalm says, be in the congregation of the righteous. See, in Christ, you and I can become those who are blessed, not by what we could ultimately do, but by God, by his grace, by his Spirit working in us. This is how we can be truly happy and joyful in God and all that he is for us. You and I become disciples. We become learners of Jesus Christ. As we follow our King, he transforms us from the inside out so that we become like him and so that we walk as he himself walked. This is what brings me to our main idea from Psalm 1. It is that you can be truly blessed and flourish in every season of life only in Jesus Christ and through delighting in the Lord's word. And so you can be truly blessed and flourish in every season of life, but only in Jesus Christ, and only through delighting in the Lord's word. Now, as we look at Psalm 1, it starts out telling us about the one who is blessed, and then about the wicked. And as we see, the blessed man is singular. The word wicked is in the plural because there are many who are wicked. We want to be those who in Christ are blessed. And so let's look at the way of the blessed first in verses 1 and 2. You know, unfortunately, so many Christians never experience the sort of true joy and happiness that God would have for us, that God would gladly give us. Because we don't live the life we see in Psalm 1. Notice first in verse 1 the things that the blessed man avoids. Notice this downward spiral here, this moral decline, this progression into sin. It begins with walking, and then standing, and then sitting. It begins by walking in the counsel, the advice of the wicked. Now, let me be clear. The psalm is not saying to you that if your doctor isn't a Christian, that you shouldn't listen to him. No, you should be listening to what your doctor says, though you need to be wise, certainly, and always put what everybody says against God's word. We need to be discerning in that way. Psalm 1 here, when it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked." This is a challenge to all of us, especially to those of you who are youth and young adults. Ask yourself, with whom are you keeping company? What are you putting into your mind? Who or what is influencing you most? What are you regularly thinking about throughout the day? Because what dominates your thinking will impact how you live. This is why it's so important that you must guard your heart by guarding your mind. I'm not saying you can't have any, you know, non-Christian friends or something like that. Rather, what I am saying is we have to be careful that we are influencing the world rather than being influenced by the world. You see, once you start down this path, listening to the counsel of the wicked, walking with the wicked, it's not long before you're then finding yourself standing in the way of sinners. See, this wrong thinking leads to wrong behavior, leads to living in a way that is contrary to God and that actively even opposes God, which finally then leads to you being the wrong sort of person. You become a mocker. That's what it means to sit with the mockers. You become one of them, and you start then to even teach others the wrong way to live. So let me give you a little example how this might work. See, if you're taking in the wrong messages from our society that are so prevalent, I mean, we all know them. You be you, right? Sounds so innocuous on the surface. We see it in the internet. We see it in social media. And it comes, by the way, not, you know, just from the left. It comes from the right just as much. But it's not long before we're listening to these messages that we then start to incorporate them into our lives and live in light of them so that we even begin to celebrate things that go against God's word. Psalm 1 says the blessed man is the one who doesn't even start down this path. This morning, if that's where you find yourself, if you look at your life and you can say, I've been going the wrong way, I've been going against God and his way, then confess that. Own up to it and do a U-turn. Repent and turn back to God. But notice it's not just about what the blessed man doesn't do. Verse 2, positively, the blessed man delights in the law, that is the Torah of Yahweh. The Torah, as I mentioned, is the five books of the first five books of the Old Testament. But probably more than that, here it's talking about the instruction of the Lord. And so when it says the word law, don't make the mistake of thinking this is just saying that you have to think about the commandments of God. Rather, this is talking about the whole of Scripture, all of God's word. As Christians, we must meditate on God's word. I mean, think about it. You're not going to find on Fox News or CNN that they're going to tell you all about who God is. They're not going to tell you about God's wonderful character. They're not going to tell you of what God has done for us or of God's promises toward us. They're not going to tell you, as Scripture does, who you are and how you're to live. No, we get that from God's Word, the Bible alone. And so we're to meditate on God's Word. Now, that word meditation that's used here is not used in the sort of Eastern mysticism sense. This isn't, you know, transcendental meditation or something like that that you might practice in yoga. No, when the Bible talks about meditation, it's referring to musing about something or muttering it over and over again, rolling it over in your mind, thinking deeply about what you're reading, chewing on it, savoring every bite of God's Word. So how do you do that? Well, could begin with reading a passage several times. And I would encourage you, if you're not regularly reading Scripture this week, take up Psalm 1. Read it every day this week and think about what Psalm 1 is saying to you. You even memorize a verse and then think about it as you're memorizing it. Think about it as you go throughout your week. Why? Because as we memorize God's Word, we internalize it. And that's how God's Word changes what we think and feel and how we live. Well, why would you meditate on God's Word like this? I mean, after all, that takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Well, the psalm tells us it's because you delight in God's Word. You love God's Word. Because you know that what the Bible is that very thing. It's God's Word. You remember that only Jesus has the words of eternal life. You remember that God's Word is the truth, and it's the truth that sets you free to live as God intended you to live. You delight in God's Word because you have tasted and seen how sweet it is. As David says in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Listen to what he says then. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Can you say that you delight in God's word more than you would if somebody were to give you a bar of gold? More than if somebody were to give you some crypto this week. As God's people, we need to grow in delighting in God's Word. And the only way to do that is to spend the time in God's Word tasting and seeing how sweet it truly is. And if you need help with learning to do so, talk with me or one of our elders. We would be glad to assist you in this. But I want to talk for a moment to our parents, and whether you're a single parent, whether you're a married couple, you know, even our grandparents. We need to have God's Word on our hearts. We need to love and delight in God's Word so that then we can teach and instruct our children or our grandchildren in God's ways, so that we can talk about God's Word as we're going about our week, as we're around the house, whether we're waking up or whether we're going to bed, as Deuteronomy 6 talks about. And if you're saying, you know what, I don't know how to do that personally, well, we are giving you every week a faith talk. Take it and read the passage together as a family and then talk about it. Let that get you started in talking with your children or grandchildren about God's Word. The reason for this is because delighting in God's Word leads to flourishing in life. That's what we see in verse 3. Notice, like a tree planted by streams of water is this blessed person. This isn't talking about the wadis that are so common over in Israel. I went to Israel, I think it was back in 2019. And I remember when we were there, we went into the Judean desert and over by the Dead Sea. And it actually rained while we were there, which apparently it doesn't do very often. Well, you could see the water running down the hills in these wadis very quickly. They were dry just a few moments ago, and now they're full of water, and it's only going to be a few more moments before they're dry again. Well, that's not what this psalm is talking about. Now, when it talks about the streams of water here, it's talking about irrigation channels that somebody had to build. Somebody had to dig them for this tree to have a continual source of water. In other words, somebody's caring for this tree so that it has the source of water it needs. So it is for us as believers. We are intentionally cared for by God. He has given us irrigation channels. He's given us his word so that we can be deeply rooted. And so as Christians, we must sink our roots deep into God's word. Notice the three results that the psalmist says in verse 3. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. As Jesus says in John 15, if we are united with him, then we too will bear fruit. If we are abiding in Christ through faith, his life-giving power will be through us. And we'll bear fruit like Galatians 5 talks about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That comes as we are filled with knowing God's word. It changes our character. But it also is how God works through us. Notice the second result. This tree's leaf does not wither. In other words, the whole tree doesn't wither. Why? Because it has a source of water continually. Now, this doesn't mean that life for you, if you're blessed, if you're abiding and rooted in God's word, it doesn't mean that life's going to be easy for you. In fact, the psalmist is implying it won't always be easy. There are going to be times where life is going to be hard. Being rooted in God's word doesn't exempt you from having hard times, doesn't exempt you from suffering and sorrow and grief and heartache. In fact, you might have more so. But if you're grounded in God's word, if you've got that life-giving relationship with God, even as you go through those trials, you have God's word as a source of peace and comfort and hope. You can endure those trials. You know, there are some of you who are here, you can testify to this. Even over the past 6 months, the past year, you have gone through some things. Life has been hard for you. The only reason you're here this morning, the only reason you've endured, the only reason you're continuing to trust in Jesus today is because you had your roots sunk deep into God's word. And so through those droughts, you have found yourself secure. And so it is, God's word keeps us from falling away. And then third, in all that he does, he prospers. Now notice, when it says that, it does so within a context. This isn't saying that you're going to have worldly success in everything you want to do. No, it means that God is going to make you flourish. He's going to make you succeed in all that he purposes for you to do. Even when times are tough, you can still flourish. The word prosper that's used here is used in Joshua 1 verse 8 to describe Joshua's life. There God tells Joshua, Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. Do you see Psalm 1 and Joshua 1:8? For then you will make your way, here's that word, prosperous. And then you will have good success. How did Joshua prosper? Joshua meditated on God's word. So it is, you too can flourish in the same way by being rooted in God's word. Because verse 4 then turns to the wicked. Verse 4, I see the fallout of the wicked. And I use that word fallout intentionally. This passage is a warning to us so that we don't choose the way of the wicked. Why? Because it's like a nuclear disaster. It has long-lasting and devastating results. And so in contrast, stark contrast to the blessed man, notice verse 4, literally all it says is not so the wicked. And so the man who delights in God's word is eternally happy in the Lord. Not so the wicked. The blessed man is like a tree planted by streams of water. Not so the wicked. The blessed man yields fruit. Not so the wicked. The blessed man endures. His leaf doesn't wither. Not so the wicked. The blessed man prospers and flourishes. Not so the wicked. No, the wicked instead reject God. Instead, they choose self. They listen to themselves and their own desires. They are fools in the biblical sense. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There's none who does good. Well, why are the wicked corrupt? Why are they foolish? Because they've rejected God and his ways. Whether they're secular or religious, whether they're in church or out in the world, they've rejected God. So as the psalm goes on to say, the wicked are not so but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Now what is chaff? Chaff, if you're not a farmer, if you didn't grow up with anything like that. Well, when you are trying to separate the grain from the wheat or from whatever plant it is, back in those days they would take it up on a high hill and they're throwing it up into the air. Because grain was heavy, and so it would fall to the ground, whereas chaff is lightweight like straw, and so the wind would blow it away. And so they'd separate the grain from the chaff. And what would they do with the chaff? Well, any that was left over, they'd burn it. Chaff was weightless and worthless. So it is, the wicked are weightless, they're rootless. Ultimately, they're useless for the purposes of God's kingdom. They don't bear good fruit, and so they're going to be driven away and ultimately burned. And you might say, well, wait a second. Maybe you've, like me, you've seen wicked people who life actually seems to be going pretty well for them. I mean, they're prospering. They've got the nice cars, the big houses. They're popular. They have everything that this world has to offer. And you think, well, wait a second. How can this be so? You know, the Bible is very aware of this tension. In fact, Psalm 37 addresses it. It says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Well, why would you envy a wrongdoer? Well, because it seems like life's going so well for them. Because they will soon fade like the grass. They will wither like the green herb. And again in verse 20, Psalm 37 says, the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. So do not walk in the way of the wicked. As verse 5 says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Literally, they won't rise or arise. They won't be able to endure God's judgment. As it says, they will find no place in the congregation of the righteous. Now that doesn't mean that we don't want sinners to come to church. We do. We want as many lost people as we can get to come. Why? Because we want them to hear of Jesus. Yeah, we shouldn't be judging them at the door and saying, hey, you're a sinner, don't come in. No, we need to be welcoming them. What this is saying is they won't be in the congregation of the righteous in heaven, in the new heavens and new earth. As Revelation 21:8 says, as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. This is a warning to turn to Christ. As verse 6 goes on to summarize, God knows the ways of the righteous. That is, God is intimately acquainted with the righteous. God knows them. God cares for his people. He delights in us, his people. But the way of the wicked will perish. Notice it's not just the wicked themselves who will perish. It's their way. There will no longer be any wicked ways in the new heavens and new earth. So Psalm 1 is challenging you today, challenging you to consider your own life. Which way are you going? Which path are you on in your life? Are you on the blessed path? Or are you going in the way that will perish? If this morning you find yourself on this way of the wicked, the good news is you're still breathing. So as Isaiah 55 says, turn to the Lord while he is still near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Turn to Jesus Christ and you will find that the Lord is gracious and he is merciful. He is slow to anger. He abounds in steadfast love. He forgives all who turn to him in faith. And you will find that he is satisfying. For those of us who are walking with Christ, let me ask you, what is shaping your thinking? Which voices are you listening to? Who or what is speaking loudest into your life? Is it God's word? Or is it something else? Because you can be truly blessed and flourish in every season of life only in Jesus Christ and through delighting in the Lord's word.